This is First Up. Every morning, come and hang on First Up. The only show that brings the bang. It's First Up.
You're listening to First Up on TSN 1050.
This is First Up.
You ain't first, you're last.
All right, welcome in to First Up for this Wednesday morning. I'm Aaron Kuromik. He is Carlo Koliakovo, a.k.a. the Mystery Picker. What's up, Mystery Picker? How you doing?
What would that mean? I'm the Mystery Picker. Like, I just mystery pick everything? Like, I don't know.
That's a possibility, yes.
So am I just like, am I a new superhero? Like, I'm the Mystery Man?
Superhero seems like a stretch, and we should probably fill our audience in case they missed it on Overdrive, which I find it hard to believe that they would. When they do their NFL picks now, the O-Dog either picks Al's brother's selection, and he ultimately took the New England Patriots, or there is a mystery selection. And this week, the boys were blessed with you as the mystery selection. Honestly, I think the most surprising thing for me was that you didn't tell me you were the mystery pick.
I was told not to say anything.
So what? You've been told. Both of us have told us.
You know me with secrets, buddy. Come on.
You are a vault.
I'm a vault, buddy. You tell me something, and you say not to say anything, it stays closed.
Still,
buddy.
I mean, we exchanged many a secret over the years.
But think how much. How much better did you feel that you were surprised?
I knew it was you. I was certain it was you. Based on nothing, but it just made sense that it was a Bills
game. I hate the
game.
Grappler. I hate him.
Like you hate the Grappler?
Dude, do you know, like, the messages that I got yesterday?
Scorn.
Like, people were just abusing me on Twitter, on text message, on DM, saying you're a loser, you're such a Bills fan, of course it was you. I was like,
this guy's such an idiot here.
You know, Grappler reached out to me Sunday night, and I was already in a mood because the Minnesota Vikings put me in a mood that out of my survivor pool, and I lost two of my fantasy leagues, and obviously it was the second last week of fantasy season, and because of those losses, I was out. And I had a really busy day Monday. I had the show in the morning. I had a video shoot to do in the afternoon, and I had to do the Sens game at night. And I wanted to mix in a nap, and so he texted me. He goes, "Hey, can you want to be the mystery pick tomorrow?" And I was like, "Dude, man, I hate saying no to you, but tomorrow's just not going to work." He goes, "Oh, come on, man. It'll be perfect. It's, you know, you're a Bills fan. It's the Bills game. We need you to, it would really be awesome if you can do it." So, you know me, man. I hate saying no to Leafs Lunch. I hate saying no to Overdrive. Like, anything that has to do with the station.
No,
gameplay, I've never been on. So, so I was like, "All right, Grappler, you know what? Let me see how my video shoot goes tomorrow. Let me see how long it goes. If I have time to do it, I'll do it. But what do you need?" He goes, "Honestly, just a 10 to 15 second video. Explain your pick and why you're picking." I go, "But you know I'm taking the Bills, right? Like, I'm not going to sway away from it." Even though I know we took the Pats.
You knew the Pats were covering, though. You were certain.
Yes.
Of it. We were on the same page.
But here's the thing.
We had already discussed it.
Here's the thing, AK. The line that he gave me was Buffalo minus 2.5. We had the Pats plus 3.5. So it's different.
Yeah, the 2.5 was a incorrect line. It was
That's what he said to me. He goes 2.5. So I was like, oh, so I was thinking about it all night. I knew how this was going to play out, right? And you just knew that after the mystery pick on the first time, O-Dog was taking the mystery pick this time regardless, because it's just content, right? So I said to the Grappler, I was like, "Okay, here's what I'm going to plan. Okay, if it snows during the night and there's snow outside, I'll jump through a table and pick the Bills. Like for an amazing video kind." He goes, "Dude, that would be amazing if you do it." So I woke up the next morning. Obviously, it didn't snow. It poured rain. So I was like, "Okay, that one's out of the picture. I'm not jumping."
Hold on. Where were you going to get a table? And like, how was that all going to be done? Like, had you thought about the logistics behind it?
Well, I was either going to grab one in my garage, or, and I ran it by my wife. I was like, hey, do you mind if I use one of these tables and break it? She's like, don't you dare. I was like, why?
Exactly.
I was like, why not? She goes, what are you going to do? Jump through a table like a stupid Bills fan? I said, stupid Bills fan. She goes, yeah, I probably shouldn't have said that, but
we're done.
Yeah. She's like, but no, you're not doing it. So I was going to go buy one. Like, but regardless, it didn't snow. So that was out of the question. I was going to jump off of my balcony in the back into a table. If it was snow outside, like my balcony is what, 3 feet off the ground? So I would have jumped through it. And think about the content I would have created. That video would have went viral yesterday.
Damn you, Mother Nature. Come on.
Yes, damn you, Mother Nature.
Mankind jumping off the steel cage or
damn you,
or whatever iteration it is.
And I was thinking of like ways to do it, maybe my wife pushing me off or me jumping through it, whatever. It wasn't going to work because it poured rain and I wasn't doing that. So it was like 3 o'clock and I just finished my video shoot. And normally when I got to go into studio, I shower around 4 o'clock, I get dressed, and just before five, I hit the road because I've got an hour drive with traffic, sometimes more, right? And I need to be in the studio for six. So I go, look, man, I'll do my best, but it's not going to be anything crazy. I'm just going to make my pick. I'll put my helmet on and make my pick. He goes, yeah, do what you got to do. So that's what I did. Made my pick. But now knowing how much pressure I had to watch that game with, I was like, why did I do this to myself? Because I knew exactly what was going to happen. And what I should have done is I should have made it more dramatic where I said, I'm picking the Bills, but I'm taking New England to cover the spread is what I should have done in my video. Bills to win, because that's what we talked about all morning. We talked about all morning.
The Bills would win
Bills
by three.
Were gonna, that's what three I thought or less. Happened, yeah. Three or less they were going to win by, right? And clearly the game was set up for it to be like that. So you process it, but man, when I got up from my nap yesterday and I saw the tweet come out from Overdrive saying that we are starting the show with the mystery pick, I was like, oh boy, I wonder how this is going to go. I was howling. I was howling, laughing when I saw the reaction of the boys knowing it was me.
Because, right. So on
like,
that
literally,
note.
Like, literally, did they expect me, like, I'm not going to go on national TV and choose and pick against my Bills. I'm just not.
Okay. Well, there's a lot to parse through there. I have some thoughts on that thing that you just said. I disagree because you are a man who has, you know, won and lost many, many dollars betting on sports. You understand how it works, and allegiances don't come into play here. So we'll discuss that. We'll also play the clip and the reaction from the gentleman on Overdrive last night, which I've watched Jeff O'Neill broadcast for almost a decade, and I've never seen him as angry as he was yesterday.
Dude, this gets worse. This gets worse. And I'll explain. And I'll explain after.
We will indeed. You're listening to First Up, Korolnik and Koliakovo, the mystery picker on this Wednesday morning here on TSN 1050.
Bang! What a morning. What a morning.
Another big W for the Toronto Maple Leafs last night. 5-4 over the Columbus Blue Jackets. A lot of stories emerging from that game as well, Coco. We'll get to all of them throughout the course of the next 4 hours. Dave Poulin will join us at 7:45 for Leafs Breakfast. He was on the panel last night for TSN and TSN4 as the Leafs picked up another dub in Austin Matthews. Two more goals. I mean, it's crazy what this guy is doing. Just a really unprecedented goal pace once again. He is right back in the mix for the Rocket Richard
Absolutely
Trophy,
he is.
Which nobody expected 2 weeks ago.
Hey,
10 days ago.
I wouldn't say nobody because you and James Duffy did place a wager.
That was on
the Rocket.
That was on Sunday. That was 3 days ago. But yes, we did. And when Duffy joins us tomorrow, I'm sure that will come up in conversation. But speaking of conversations, we began the show talking about the mystery pick yesterday on Overdrive, where you selected the Buffalo Bills as the O-Dogs mystery selector. And, of course, Al's brother had taken the New England Patriots, so unfortunately for the O-Dog, he came out on the short end of the stick. Why don't you take it from there, because you were discussing exactly what transpired behind the scenes leading up to the mystery.
Okay, so just quickly, 20 fingers, let's play the clip of me actually revealing the pick from Overdrive yesterday, if you can have that queued up, because there is a lot to digest here. And so let me know when you're ready. We'll play the clip and we'll get into it. You ready with it yet? All right, here we go.
Hey, everyone. Bill Mafia here, and I am the lucky choice to be the mystery pick winner for tonight. And what a game. You talk about a marquee matchup in week 13 with so much on the line. First place, best team in the AFC between my Buffalo Bills and the New England Patriots. 2.5 points is a spread, and I'm not going to get into any numbers here. I'm going to put my Buffalo Bills helmet on, and I'm taking the Bills because we're taking down the Patriots.
Okay. So obviously, if people who watched Overdrive yesterday would have seen the reaction coming out of that video where O-Dog was like, no, it's not fair. You can't take a Bills fan to make the pick. But here's where I blame the O-Dog, okay? Because the O-Dog, if he wanted to take the Patriots, had it right in front of him. Because Al's brother took the Patriots. So clearly, the O-Dog is 100% to blame on this because he wasn't satisfied with taking the Patriots in that game, or he would have taken Al's brother's pick. So he wanted somebody, whoever the mystery pick was, which ended up being me, to select the Bills.
True.
Fair?
And also inherent with the mystery pick is that it can be literally anyone.
Anybody.
Even you. So
anybody.
That, but I'm with you. And it's, but I also understand the O-Dog, when he sees you pop up, he's like, seriously? Not
but,
only are you
okay.
a Bills fan, no disrespect, Coco, you would agree. You have not been the best when it comes to NFL picks in the 2021 season.
No, been horrible.
Season.
Yeah. I've been a lemon. Absolute
yeah,
lemon.
A lemon. You have absolutely
yes, you
been a lemon.
You can squeeze the juice right out of me. I've been a lemon. Come and pick a pick. My buddies make fun of me because they ask me for 3 picks every Sunday. And I tell them they're locks. Here are the locks, boys. And I go 0-3 almost every week. So I'm the guy you should be fading. Mm-hmm. But this is the worst part about it. So I went into studio last night because I had to do the Habs game. And while I was there, I ran into the hockey guys on the panel, including one, Jeff O'Neill. And I saw him walk in, and I'm staring right at him. We're all wearing our masks in studio. He makes eye contact with me, and he walks right by me. So I was like, oh, that's how it's going to be? He's like, you're dead to me. Don't talk to me. Don't look to me. I was like, what? I was like, don't be like that. He's like, you're such an idiot. So I put my knuckles out to him. I was like, dude, come on. It was fun, man. It was great content for you. He left me hanging.
Wow.
I was like, wow, what a suck. Seriously.
And that was it. That was it.
Yeah.
So, all right, Arad, you're going to have to reach out to the O-Dog today. Absolutely. We need to get
him
on the show.
So here's the thing. I tried to, have small talk with him, and he's like, he was really bothered by it. And look, this is the typical O-Dog move. So I did my panel. He did his panel. I sent him a text message after the game last night. I was like, yo, you still up? This is like a 10:15. Iced. No response. So I don't know where things are with me and the O-Dog right now.
This
wild. I don't expect anything bad, but clearly, he was upset about what transpired because he thought he was set up by me. And I'm like, why are you getting mad at me? Do you think I was going to take anything different? And I just wanted to say to him, I was like, dude, do you know if the Bills would have converted at least one of those first and goals in the fourth quarter, you would have won? come on.
Well, it's setting up for, those celebrity boxing matches between, who is it? Frank Gore and Darren Williams against you versus the O-Dog.
Yeah.
There you go, 20 fingers. Who
well,
would be the
might
betting favorite in that boxing match? That could be a poll question. We'll throw it up on the First Up 1050 Twitter account. I think I'd go, that's a tough one. The O-Dog's been working out. I go with the O-Dog in the boxing match. 20 fingers, give me a thumbs up for O-Dog. Oh, yeah, all right. 20 fingers with me as well. That's an interesting one because there is clearly.
Who says the O-Dog has been working out?
That's what he's been talking about on Overdrive. Remember, he's been, I don't know, visiting those fitness classes. So I think you're in trouble. If the O-Dog has some beef with you, it needs to be settled and settled.
You see O-Dog from the waist up. I saw him in person yesterday, and let me say, I don't think he's working out.
Wow, shots fired.
What are you, on drugs?
Yeah, and here's the thing. Here's the thing. You know me. Like, I don't hold any beef, any grudges. I just laugh about it. And I'm pretty sure he's laughing about it, too. Like, this is probably just...
Pretty sure, not certain.
This is probably just him just playing the role. I'm doing the Leafs game with him on Thursday, so we might get after it on the panel.
Wow, this is explosive. Unbelievable. Is Duffy hosting that panel?
I think he is. I mean, I don't know.
Well, because he's got the Grey Cup coming up and stuff like that. All right, there is so much to parse through. But I am, my mind is blown of all these notes and things to talk about in the Leaf game from last night. I mean, there is no shortage of content in a game that, I mean, was never really close. I mean, the Leafs blew out Columbus, but somehow it was 5-4 in the end, and Max Domi scored with like 0.4 seconds left. And
Max Domi is not a really well-liked guy in Toronto this morning.
Yeah, well,
you think about all the guys that bet Toronto on the puck line yesterday.
Yeah, there were. I have some stories on that. You know, I actually bet Columbus on the reverse puck line.
Oh my God, you did not.
I did.
Bang!
I really did.
You are incredible. You're incredible.
It's stupid. Well, I also had Columbus in regulation. Columbus, you know, on the puck line, Columbus money line. So it wasn't exactly a flawless night. I thought Columbus would win, but we'll get into the Leaf game last night. Everything that transpired. Auston Matthews picking up a couple of goals, and Nick Ritchie. The long drought is over. Slump buster for Nick Ritchie, and apparently in the box where all the scratches sit, including Jason Spezza. We'll get to him too. It was an outrageous celebration for Rich. We'll celebrate for him here on First Up. Coming up on the other side, Koronik and Koliakovo with you. First Up continues on TSN 1050.
Pass ahead for Bunting. Bunting driving the net. In front of the net, they score! What a glorious play! And Auston Matthews does the finish. But it's Michael Bunting with the creativity for a 2-0 lead.
Back on First Up, Koronik and Koliakovo with you. The Toronto Maple Leafs beating the Columbus Blue Jackets 5-4 last night in a game in which the score did not really reflect the actual play on the ice. The Maple Leafs were in full control. A couple of late goals from Columbus made it seem as if it was closer than it truly was, but another decisive win for the Leafs. You heard the call from Joe Bowen. Michael Bunting, a ridiculous play to set up Auston Matthews for his first of two goals of the evening. And, man, has Bunting been good. Like, really good since they put him up on that top line alongside Matthews. And we know Mitch Marner's going to be out for 3 to 4 weeks with a shoulder injury. You'll be seeing a lot of the Bunts and Mats duo, Coco. And by all indications, it looks as potent as ever right now.
Wow, what a... nifty little move. People were calling it a greasy move because Bunting got the nickname Greasy Rat from what was that guy's name? The tough guy that they signed out of San Jose.
Was it Curtis Gabriel?
Curtis Gabriel. You're right. Correct. So really impressive individual effort, you know, on the stretch pass, winning his one-on-one battle and throwing it between the legs for Matthews to get his first of two on the night. And let's just go back to the start of the day when we finished our show. You know, when we were on our show, it was revealed from Darren Dreger that Mitch Marner would be missing at least one more, potentially 2 weeks. And coming out of practice, we were notified that Marner and Sandin would both be placed on the IR, and Marner would be missing 3 to 4 weeks, which was described as a shoulder injury. And right away, you started thinking, wow, okay, like this is real now in the sense that, you know, this is some real adversity that this Maple Leafs team is going to be facing with one of their best forwards out of the lineup. So how are they going to deal with this? Who's going to get the call? Well, Alex Steeves So I think somebody that none of us really know about, didn't have a training camp, but is having a really good year down in the minors, gets the recall. He looked okay last night. Rubens gets a chance to play his first game.
He's a big
in
boy.
The NHL. Yes. Yeah, he is
like
a very
6'5", 230.
Woo. And so, you know, with Travis Dermott missing the game because of an injury that we didn't even know about either. So right away, the Maple Leafs are getting thin. So what do you look for in times like this? You look for your best players to step up and lead the way. And I think the finger was pointed right at William Nylander to step up and take over Mitch Marner's role. And who scores the first goal of the game? William Nylander. So check mark there. Who leads by example? Because the Maple Leafs need their best players to be their best players. Well, Austin Matthews, check mark there. John Tavares chips in on the score sheet again. Check mark there. Another top player scoring. And in a moment where, you know, you're expecting other guys to chip in too. You know, you talked about Michael Bunting and how good he's played. And, you know, credit to him. He's really solidified his position not only alongside Austin Matthews right now and Mitch Marner whenever he decides to come back, but as a top six left winger on this team, because
definitely.
I don't think there's anybody that's playing better than him as a left winger on this team. And remember we talked about before the season when Nick Ritchie and Bunting and who was going to be here, and I said, I don't see Nick Ritchie as a bottom six player in this team. This guy is clearly capable of being better than that, and credit to him. He's taking advantage of every opportunity he's been getting, and he's chipping in on the score sheet too. And he's a fun player to watch, man. I love, you know, how gritty and greasy he plays and his compete level. He's always likes getting into these little scrums, getting into guys' faces, and he's got a really good knack around the net. And lo and behold, it's the 26th game of the season for the Maple Leafs, and Nick Ritchie, the guy everybody's been talking about all season, chips in on the score sheet and gets his first goal in the season. You can hear the roar in the bench. You can hear the roar in the crowd. You were talking about the roar in the press box for guys who have been, you know, really in his corner and cheering for him and rooting for him to get that first one off of his back. And hopefully this is a sign of, you know, him starting to break out or at least contribute a lot more, because he is capable of it. He just hasn't been able to finish. And that was a Nick Ritchie goal yesterday. You know, win a puck battle in the corner, get to the front of the net, puck gets to him, and he buries it. So a lot of good signs when you talk about, you know, the adversity that they're going through and players stepping up and scoring five goals. I think I just read it was their sixth consecutive game or eighth consecutive game with three or more goals scored. So their offense is finding a way to click right now. But, you know, if you heard Sheldon Keefe in his presser post game, and I don't know if we have the clip ready about he'll take the win, but he was concerned about some of the things that he saw with this team, especially in the third period where you give up three goals and the way they play defensively. So 20 fingers.
Yeah, I didn't like much about the game in any period. We found ways to strike offensively, whether it's on our power play or some, you know, quick chances off the rush. But in terms of how we like to play and how we have played, I don't think there was a lot to like about the game tonight in any of the periods. I'm kind of happy that, frankly, that the third period catches up to us, because it probably should have, you know. So it's not a great game for us, but it's a good result. Obviously, we need to get back on the right side of it.
Yeah, so Columbus scored three goals in the third period. Bjorkstrand scored, Corrali scored kind of a weird one, deflected past Jack Campbell, and Max Domi scored with like 0.5 seconds left.
But, 0.5, you know, it was like less than
0.3, whatever it was. Yeah, there was like zero.
There were zeros on the clock.
Yeah, so I mean, listen, I understand what Sheldon Keefe was talking about. I think the Campbell could have stopped the Corrali goal. That was a weird one. And I don't know. I'm not so sure. I think Sheldon Keefe is kind of just concerned that the Leafs are kind of going back and playing in a similar fashion that they have over the course of the last couple of seasons, where they're loose defensively. And this is a team that was locking the opposition down for a while, yeah. Right? They weren't allowing anything. The number of goals that were being put up by opposing offenses were minuscule. Like, at least we're one of the best defensive teams in the NHL. I will say, I mean, Campbell, yes, I don't think he had his best performance. I think that the Leafs kind of let him down in the third, but the Corrali goal, the Domi goal, period. Oh, that save he made, sliding from right to left, was a ridiculous stop. Like, what a saves of the year, for sure.
Yeah. Well, you think about the score now, and it was the game the score that
I suppose
the game, right?
I suppose that is true, but I don't know. I think that was one of those weird Tuesday night, you know, at home. You're coming off a quick roadie in Minnesota and Winnipeg. Same situation for Columbus coming off a road trip as well. And, yeah, it was going to be a weird game, and I think that's exactly what last night was. A lot of goals, nine combined between the two teams. But, you know, you turn the page and you move on because Thursday is a hell of a showdown for the Leafs and the Tampa Bay Lightning at Scotiabank Arena. Tampa, in a game that you were covering last night for TSN against the Habs, a crazy comeback in the last minute.
Dude.
Was it Alex Killorn who scored the game winner with, like, what, 50
no,
seconds
Palat.
Left?
It was Palat.
It was Palat. I think Palat, yeah.
Killorn made the pass.
Yeah.
But, look, this Tampa team is, they showed last night why they're the champs. They were horrendous in that game. Like, literally did not even show. They were floating. They were puck watching. They were standing still in most cases in the D zone. Like, just not the Tampa Bay Lightning that you're used to seeing. And Montreal, like, credit to them. Like, I've done a lot of Montreal games. That was the most spirited game I've seen them play all year. And I was actually impressed. They're missing a ton of guys. I think they're missing, like, seven or eight guys out of their lineup. So, and Montreal had a 2-1 lead with 2 minutes left in the third. And you can just tell, coming into the third period, Tampa was down 2-1. They found a way to pick up their game. They're like, and that's what good teams do. Good teams, you know what, in some games when they don't have it, they find a way to stick around, and then they're like, okay, guys, like, enough. Like, let's go win this thing. They score a goal with 2 minutes left, and then they didn't want to go overtime. They're just like, okay, we're going to end this now. And they went down, they created a chance, and they buried it. And I don't know if it was probably one of those look-ahead games on the schedule where they see the Maple Leafs on Thursday night and they see the Montreal Canadiens on Tuesday night, and they're like, oh, yeah, this will be an easy one. We can just show up and win. And they did. They showed up and won because they didn't show up and play well at all. They had Vasilevskiy in net, which helps. But I expect Tampa to play way better than they played Tuesday. Maybe they were preserving their energy because they know what they're going to need against the Maple Leafs. And that'll be a good one. They've already lost to the Maple Leafs this year, so maybe this will be a revenge game, as you like to say.
Well, I mean, Tampa's banged up. We know Kucherov, who is skating, so he might be making his return at some point soon. We'll see when that occurs. And we know Braden Point is also out. There's a lot of guys missing from both Toronto and Tampa Bay. So these are not this matchup on Thursday night, which is on TSN, and TSN 1050 will not be one in which both teams are operating at full capacity. We know Marner will be out for the Leafs. We know Sandin will be out. We know Travis Dermott will be out. And we know that Jason Spezza will be out. That will be his second of six games as far as his suspension goes. We'll get into that a little bit later. I know you have thoughts on that situation. So do I. I was really surprised to see that number emerge. I thought it would be three or four. I think I don't want to speak for you, but like, did you think it was going to be even less than that?
No, I thought for sure because Pionk got two and he has an in-person hearing, he would get at least one more, maybe two more than Pionk. When I saw the number six come out, I shook my head and I'm like, this is outrageous.
Yeah, it was a significant suspension for a guy in Jason Spezza, who's one of the consummate pros, but I mean, that's the explanation from NHL player safety. We'll get to that explanation and we'll run it through because it's a little bit convoluted because it sounded like the Leafs were making a case about it not being kneeing, and the NHL player safety group disagreed with that assertion. So there's a lot to figure out when it comes to the Spezza one because that clearly was a hearing, Coco. That was a long one because this was something that happened at 1 o'clock and they didn't announce the suspension until 8:30 or something like that?
Well, think about it. This happened Sunday.
Yeah.
And
it's a lot of debate.
Like, how much time did they really need to think about it? And I'm convinced they got it wrong. They got it wrong. Like, this Spezza is a guy who's played 1,200 games in the league. He's viewed as the classiest guy in the game right now, with zero history of being, you know, a dirty player, or even just being suspended, or even a guy that takes penalties. And they basically treated him like a repeat offender the way they handed out this penalty for him.
I know. We'll talk about that, you and I, and we'll talk to Dave Poulin, our TSN hockey analyst, when he joins us in about an hour's time. The Morning Scroll coming up as well, and it's Lou Marsh Day in Canada, Canadian sports media. The top Canadian athlete of the year will be decided this afternoon. We'll be joined by Bruce Arthur, the Toronto Star, who will be part of the committee making that decision. That's coming up on First Up. This hour, First Up, brought to you by Sokolov Lawyers. Seriously injured? Don't put it off. Call Sokolov. Visit areyouhurt.ca.
They only get paid when you do.
Bang. And we welcome in our producer, Rod Osvondi, for the Morning Scroll.
So this is a story that just tickled me pink this morning. An Australian man had a dream that he won the lottery. He woke up, chose those exact same numbers, and guess what? He actually won the lottery. Guys, why can't I have a dream like that?
Why can't we all have a dream like that?
Yeah, I think the dreams you have, Rod, are a little bit different than lottery numbers. That'd be my assertion. But, yeah, that would be nice. That would be very nice, winning the lottery. I mean, of course, we would still do this radio show every day. Probably extend the show perhaps to 5 or 6 hours as opposed to 4. And just keep delivering the quality content that we deliver from Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. But, yes, oh, man, winning the lottery, wouldn't that be something, eh? Man.
Wouldn't it? You know, and I just, this whole lottery thing just, again, I just have a heart. It confuses me. Like, I go put gas and I see, you know, 50, 60, 70 million almost every time that I go there. And I think to myself, why does one person need to win all that money? Like, when you're talking about lottery, is there no way that they can have, like, 4 or 5 winners to split that?
Well, it's not always one person, right? Like, we see a lot of people winning the workplace lottery when a bunch of people get together, put money together, and win the jackpot,
okay,
right?
But yeah, but that's a workplace lottery. I'm talking about, like, the actual numbers they draw in the lottery. It's always one ticket that wins most of the time, right? Like, is there no way that there can be 2 tickets that win, 3 tickets that win? Like, why does one person need to win $70 million? Like, would
you ever spend that
in your lifetime?
Yeah, you want multiple yachts, multiple mansions. Yeah. What are you talking about? You think I want to win 5 mil in the lottery? I will say.
You wouldn't take 5 mil winning in the lottery?
I'd take 5 mil. I would take 5 mil. I always find it curious that people will only play the lottery when there's, like, a massive jackpot. Like, oh, it's 100 mil. We got to sign up. It's, like, usually 40. Like, what's the difference? You know, if you're winning 40 mil versus 100, of course, $60 million. But to play only when it's 100 million as opposed to when maybe 40 might be a stretch, seems like a little odd to me.
So I remember when I was playing in Buffalo in 2016, and the Mega Millions was the big lottery there. And it got to $1.6 billion at one point because there just wasn't a ticket that drew a winner. And so this became a big topic of conversation in our locker room. We're like, guys, like, I don't know if you've seen the lottery, but, like, we should chip in and, like, buy tickets for it. Like, it's $1.6 billion. Think about what it could do to most. And, you know, we make good money playing in the NHL, but it's like, hey, like, let's participate. So there was a big uproar about that lottery that happened. And wouldn't you know that when the winning ticket was sold, it was the winning ticket was bought or purchased in a place in Florida, and one person won it. One ticket won $1.6 billion. Like, why? What is what? Why can't that be, like, a 5-ticket winner? Your mic is off, AK.
Yeah, in that situation, for sure. I mean, that is unbelievable stuff.
$1.6 billion. Yes, it was crazy.
Oh, wouldn't that be something? How much of that is taken away by tax, do you think? Is that, like, half?
Well, in the U.S., it's half, right?
It depends on the state.
800
as well.
Mil.
Or, yeah, it does depend on the state. You're right, Rod, yes. So, But still, I mean, why does one ticket need to win that? Like, it confuses me with the lottery. Why the system can't generate, like, most people that go in. I don't know about you, but when you go play the lottery, do you bring your own numbers and play your own numbers?
I don't play the lottery.
Or do you go in and say, "Hey, can I have $25 in Lotto Max and do a quick pick?" They're quick pick numbers.
You know what I do? I do you go. There's the Raps are playing Oklahoma City tonight, for instance. Sometimes I'm just like, you know what? I'm gonna try to hit the lottery on my own, and you parlay. I don't know, 15 different outcomes. So, or Van Vliet over points and Siakam under points and Shea Gilgeous-Alexander over assists. And, if I'm just bored and watching the game, sometimes I do that and try to hit my own lottery when it comes to sports betting. Fortunately, thanks to the Canadian Football League, I've hit the lottery many times throughout this course of the season. What else do you have, Rod?
Yeah, I just wanted to say today is Champions League, so I would love to play some gambling lottery myself, especially with a lot of the games already basically decided. Anyways, we're moving on. Last night, Charles Barkley was at his Charles Barkley best, criticizing the Lakers and Anthony Davis. Here is the audio.
Anthony Davis, you got to play better. If the Lakers were going to be any good, it was all going to be on you. Has nothing to do with Russell, had nothing to do with LeBron, and the rest of them old-ass geezers they put together out there. Ooh. But now y'all done crossed the line, because I really like Frank Vogel.
All right, Carlo, you're an analyst. Do you think Chuck sometimes goes too far calling out specific players?
No, that's why he's on that broadcast. I mean, that's their job. Their job is to call out players and call it how it is. I mean, you talk about why the NBA, that broadcast is probably one of the most viewed panels in sports, because those guys just don't go out and just pat people on the back. They go out and tell you the truth about how they feel about people in certain situations. And look what we're talking about right now. We're talking about him actually saying that. So that's why they're there, man. Look, you don't want to go there. You don't want guys to go there and start, pampering the Lakers and stuff. Like, no, call out, because he's right. He's right about the Lakers. They won a championship in a bubble. Okay, they played the Miami Heat in the finals. What have they done since? Nothing. All they are is just like he said, a bunch of old geezers.
Old geezers who are sixth in the West. I mean, they're 13-12. They've had a pretty poor start, certainly by their standards. They did beat the Boston Celtics last night, and Anthony Davis still averaging 24-10. He's still doing his thing. I think it was just poor decision making bringing Russell Westbrook in. I just don't think that fit. And listen, we'll see. There's a lot of NBA season to go. I would be hesitant to write off the Lakers quite yet. And listen, Anthony Davis probably has to be their best player. This is LeBron's 19th season, and which is totally crazy to think about. But he's still not maybe at the top of his game, but not far off. So if AD and LeBron are getting rolling like they did in the bubble that you mentioned, Coco, could be problems for other teams in the Western Conference. We'll be back with Dave Poulin at 7:45 for Leafs Breakfast. Also, again, the Lou Marsh Award to be handed out today. The top contenders, maybe it's Damian Warner, Andre DeGrasse, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. A lot of people believe he could win the Lou Marsh Award. I don't know about that one, and I don't think he's going to win it based on the people I spoke to yesterday, but he's got a very good case. So we'll discuss that and much more around the world of sports here on First Up on TSN 1050. The Leafs 5-4 winners last night over the Columbus Blue Jackets, and they're looking ahead to a big one on Thursday night with the two-time defending Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning in town. The Toronto Raptors back in action tonight as well, hosting the Oklahoma City Thunder, who just last week lost by 73 points. The Raps 6.5-point favorites in this one. It's a game you can hear on TSN 1050. That should be an interesting one. I don't want to call it guaranteed win night, because there's a couple of Canadians on the OKC Thunder who play pivotal roles for that squad, Lou Dort and Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. So we'll get into that with Javon Shepard, who will be calling the game tonight on TSN 1050 as our color analyst. Nailed it! So I look forward to chatting with him, as always. He's a great guy and a great guest. He'll be joining us a little bit later in the program. But coming up next, we'll talk about Austin Matthews, who has done something in the last 83 home games And it was brought to our attention last night by Gordon Miller and James Duthie on the TSM broadcast. In his last 83 home games, Austin Matthews has 72 goals.
Crazy.
Absolutely preposterous performance from Austin Matthews at home, and he was doing work again last night. Again, the Leafs beating Columbus. We'll be getting into it all morning long, and we'll start doing it next on First Up.